Okay, we're continuing the Rambam, Hilchos Mechira, Perek Yutes, Halacha Zayin, Chapter 19, Law 7. We're discussing laws of transactions, and when a person sells something, and then the purchaser gets it taken away from him under certain circumstances, and there can be conditions made as well, where the seller says, I'll be responsible if any things beyond our control happen within reason, as was explained yesterday. So there's going to be another story backing this idea up, and for the rest of the parak, a number of similar types of stories. Ma'isa ba'echad shesochar malochim. There's a story that one person hired people who own ships for transporting goods. It's lahavi shumshamin. He needed them to transport sesame seeds, l'makom plain, to a certain place. It seems from the commentaries that they have two jobs to do. The transport involves taking a ship and crossing over a certain area. And then when it gets to the area where the water ends, then they rent out animals to get it to the final destination. So that's going on the boat and on animals. And that's the person who's doing the job, and he's being paid for that. Okay. Vehisneimim, and the transporter made the following condition. Shehem chayovim b'chol onei shi'ar lahem, that they're going to be obliged for any accidents that happen to them, at shi'gi ashum shumim l'makom ploni, until the sesame seeds reach their destinations. So again, the Rambam already said yesterday that we have to understand we're talking about accidents that result as a fault, and yesterday of the seller. So now what we mean is an accident that's at the fault of the one who is a transportation company. But what if there be accidents beyond his control? And that's what the Rambam is going to say now. V'niv sakanor. And all of a sudden the boat's going, and the water, the river, dries up. So now the boat's stuck, and it can't go any further. So now, is even though he said, I'm going to be responsible for accidents, would the transporter be chayav for that? V'amru chachamim, the rabbis say, ze oynei she'eino motzui. That's not a likely type of an accident. They would not be required to, from the point where the river dried up, for them to now take animals and transport it from the middle where the river dried up and to transport away. They're not obliged to do that. The contract is we take it down the river until we get to the port. From the port, we'll take animals and bring it to the destination. And we'll take any assets that was for our fault. Let's say there's something wrong with the ship. The ship breaks or something like that. The animals die or something like that. That would be obligations on the part of the transporter. But the fact that it was beyond his control, he never meant to include that. And anything similar to that, he is not obliged. Okay, now we have another similar type of situation, now with just regular sales. Ches. These are all pretty straightforward cases. Hamoicher karka lechavero, person sells a piece of land to his friend, vehisna hamoicher, and the seller makes the condition, and if he would not make the condition, he'd be in big trouble. He's making a specific condition, shelo yel vachrayas. He has no responsibility of what he sells. If he would not make that condition, you'd see it would be his responsibility to pay. Now, afilu noda bavadei shezo ha'aretz gezula, even though we're going to find out that he stole the land, v'yotzas mitachas ha'lokech, and it gets taken away from the purchaser, eina moicher chayev klum, the seller is not obliged for anything. Okay, so in other words, you know, not necessarily, obviously this guy didn't steal it, because if he stole, the seller stole it, he'd have to give it back. But we're telling you, it's stolen property that belongs to somebody else. But he made a condition. He says, I have no responsibility here. You're taking your risks. And we find out that it was even stolen property. Sellers have get anything back. Vein Sorech Lom goes without saying, in Ba Balchov, let's say the seller has a creditor. And the creditor takes the property as it was a lien. It was leaned against it. Utrofa, now he takes it away from the purchaser. Sheina Machzul Klum, he doesn't have to give anything back. Because why? Because we have a rule, as we've said many times, shekol tnai shebamamon, any conditions that are agreed upon between the buyer and the seller when it comes to monetary issues, kayim is withstands. And the purchaser accepted these conditions. Since he accepted the conditions, he has to suffer the consequences of the conditions. Now, Let's take it a step further. Ruvain shemachar sader l'shimon shelo b'achrayis. Again, Ruvain sells a field to Shimon without responsibility. Ubo Levi v'hotziyo miyad Shimon. And Levi takes it away from Shimon. All right, so we already said, and he could say, for example, it was stolen away from me, or whatever. Okay, so Levi is taking it away. So you'd think right now, Shimon's out of luck. How could it, anything happen? Well, guess what the Rambam says, an interesting thing. What about Reuven, who sold it to him? Could he interfere in this case? Can he plead for Shimon's, on Shimon's behalf, so that Levi shouldn't take it? Maybe he can bring some testimony that may be helpful that will contradict what Levi is saying. So Imratza Reuven lassos, because let's put it this way. Levi comes to Shimon and says, this is stolen property, it's my proof. Shimon doesn't know from anything. He's a Shema. He doesn't know anything. The other guy's going to bring all kinds of proofs. And Shimon says, I didn't know anything about it. You go to Jewish court, he's going to be finished. Yeah, but what if Reuven steps in for a minute? Reuven says, you know what? I got documentations that contradict what Levi said. So you might think that Reuven really, since I don't have any responsibility, he can't be involved. You might think that. So Rambam says, Imrotza Reuven lasses din. If Reuven now wants to jump into the court casing Levi with Levi, Oseh, he is permitted to do it. Because he certainly, number one, knows the issues much better than Shimon doesn't know anything. Now, Levi might say, what are you doing getting involved in something that's not your business? Because it's now Shimon's property. I only care about Shimon. You're out of the case. Levi cannot say to Reuven, what do I have to do with you? You already sold it without any responsibility, so what do you care? No. Reuven, because Reuven said, I do have, as Paul did note, I don't want Shimon to have complaints against me. I'm an honest and reputable guy. I know what my name's going to look like. Everyone's going to talk in the streets. Don't ever buy anything from Reuven. He makes you buy things without responsibility, and then people go away and take it away from you. He lost because of me. So in this situation, now if he doesn't lose, certainly he doesn't lose. That's certainly Reuven doesn't lose. But the other guy can't say you have nothing to be involved because he does lose his good name. Okay, now let's see if we can get this done. One more to go. Yud. Here's a really interesting case. Reuven shemacher sada l'shimon shelo b'achrayis. Reuven sells a field to Shimon. I'm not taking any responsibility for it. Okay, good. Now, then a couple weeks later, the Reuven says, you know, I'd like to buy it back from you. But now when I'm buying it back from you, I want you to take responsibility. There's no problem with the field.
That's a
Well, he doesn't have to agree to that. Yeah. Let's say Reuven sells to Shimon. Shimon thought he could use the field. It turns out it's not working out. All the workers he had didn't show up, and Shimon's in trouble. Reuven says, okay, so now you need to sell the field. I'll buy it back from you. But you know what? I'm buying it, and you're going to take responsibility. Interesting. Now, what happens? Now a third party now comes to Reuven, because Reuven has bought back his thing. Now Reuven had a creditor all along, all right, who wants to collect from this property. He'd like to take the property from Reuven. So what might Reuven say to Shimon?
No,
you sold it to me with responsibilities. So the guy's going to take it from me. And now Reuven, it doesn't matter. He had an outstanding debt, and that land was leaned.
Reuven
had an outstanding debt. He never told Shimon anything about it. So when he sold it without any conditions. So when he sold it to Shimon without any conditions, he's off the hook. But when Shimon sold it back to Reuven, whatever responsibilities come. So Shimon just walked into a great trap over there. So you'd think Reuven could go back to Shimon and claim from Shimon, because you sold me with responsibility. Rambam says, no. Ain't a yochalach, so Shimon. He came back to Shimon, you know why? Even though he never took responsibility for Shimon, but you have your own self-responsibility. He has to take his own achrayis for himself. And if I don't have against Shimon, but what about for yourself? Can't you plead your own case? So you're not able to do that. And if he would get anything, he'd have to give the money back to Shimon anyway. If he take the money, from Shimon, let's say, then he'll plead the case, he'll win the case, he has to give the money back to Shimon anyway. He has to be responsible for himself. So yeah, who am I? He can't be the seller and the buyer, last one for himself, and have it both ways. However, that's only if it's a creditor against Reuven, he can't pull such stick. But what if it's Reuven's father who has some debts that are going to fall onto Reuven now, things that Reuven may not even have known? If a creditor of Yaakov, his father, the father of Reuven, the creditor of Reuven's father comes, and now takes away from Reuven, then Chozer b'chol adam al Shimon, then all the money has to go back. And Shimon, because Shimon kibbel achrayas, because Shimon took achrayas. Reuven is not taking achrayas for his father. Reuven takes achrayas for his own borrowing, but he can't take achrayas for his father. Reuven lo kibbel Shimon achrayas on klal. Reuven, when he sells something, he has to take responsibility for himself. Okay, but for his father, that could be an unknown debt that just all of a sudden fell in his lap. So that would be a case where indeed Shimon would lose out because he did sell the property back to Reuven to take responsibility for it. Okay, Steve, you want to dive? Okay, we finished the prayer. We're going to start the next prayer. Amen. Ahava soilam beis Yisrael am klav to teira mitzvah yischukim amishpatim asan lemara talken alhem shokmem uven esiach b'chukecha v'nisbach v'divrei seira sech v'mitzvah sech v'ed kiyem chayin v'erich yomenu v'em negei yomom v'loi lo v'avosucho al tosir mimenu li oilam im Baruch atah Adonai Yohei Vamo Yisroel Shema Yisroel Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echod Baruch Shem Kivod Machus Nolved V'ahavta Eis Adonai Elohecha B'chol Levavecha V'chol Nafshecha V'chol Moedecha V'yu Adivarim Ha'ele Asher Anochi Mitzavecha Hayom Al Levavecha V'shinam Tom Levonecha V'divarta Bom B'shivtecha B'veizecha V'lechtecha V'adderecha V'shachpecha U'vkumecha Ukshar Tom La'us Al Yodecha V'yu L'tal Tavos Bein Einecha U'chasavta Mamuzuzos B'yisecha V'yisherecha V'yom Shemaat Yishmu El Mitzvosa Asher Anochi Mitzavecha. Okay, we're continuing now in the 20th chapter. Okay, first couple of halachas. We're talking again buying and sellers, and we have to try to understand what was the buyer thinking, what was the seller thinking. Not everybody always is expressing what they're saying, so we have to look at the context to understand what's happening, as we'll see in the first case. That's the first one. Hamavakesh liknos mechaver mikoch. A guy wants to buy from somebody. He's an object. Mocher, the seller says, well, the guy says, how much you want for it? The seller says, b'masayim ani mocher lach. I'm selling it for 200. V'lokechamer, buyer says, any krenel b'mar, I'm only going to offer you 100. Okay, guess we're not going to make a sale. V'holach zel abeso, v'zel abeso. The buyer said, went home, and that's it. There was no sale. They couldn't come to terms. Racha, let's say a couple days later, niskapsu, the two of them get back together, and the seller's got that same object, and the buyer's there. Not a lot of talk. No talk at all is going on over here. And the buyer and with the knowledge of the seller, he obviously it's in his presence, and he's letting this happen. and the purchaser just does a kinyan and pulls that object that they talked about yesterday. They didn't agree on the price. So now the question is, what price are we going to go with? Well, it depends who initiated the second meeting. If the, let's say, the seller calls up the buyer and says, you know, let's come back and meet again, and we'll make a deal tomorrow. Okay? So, and he gives him the object, he'll give him 100, because it goes without saying the seller was searching the buyer, so obviously he was giving in to the buyer. If it's the buyer who initiated and came, and then he does the kinyan, he has to give masayim. Because we have the rule is, if you do a kinyan in front of the seller, and the seller's watching, and he's not saying anything, there's obviously agreement to the kinyan. The only question is at what price? So we determine the price by who initiates the second meeting. Even if no words were spoken, the context describes what happens.
And if they bump into each other on the street?
Then I don't know.
150?
I don't know. Okay, now as a introduction to the next halacha, we have to remind you of halacha we learned many moons ago, and to see what the distinctions are in the halacha. He's got Yaakov right next to him. He could look in if he wants.
Now, I should say, Rabbi, that happens to me all the time, but what happens is you call the other guy and you don't talk about anything to do with the product. How's your wife? How's your children? Yeah, I just called you up for such and such. And then the other person for sure is going to say, oh, you know, it's too bad we couldn't make a deal on the other thing, you know, whatever. And it's usually, you know.
But here you guys are talking and you're coming up with a price. In this case, no, there was no further.
Well, I'm talking about the second meeting. Second meeting. The first meeting, nobody agrees. The second meeting, one initiates the meeting, but it's usually, you know, there's multiple agendas.
Yes, but that your case is you guys reach a compromise or something, and it's spoken out. The case of the Rambam, nothing was spoken out in the second case. The second meeting, there was no price discussed. So if there's no price discussed, we only can assume who initiated the meeting is willing to agree to that price. That's the difference. I'm sure your second meetings, you do talk price also somewhere along that second meeting, or else you wouldn't conclude the deal. So that's what the Rambam's talking about. Now, as a preface to this next halacha, let's go to an old halacha. If somebody steals, this is not the case here, but you just have to admit the background. If someone steals from one of five people, but he doesn't know who he stole from, he knows he went in late at night, he went into an apartment building, and he stole from one of the five apartments. He didn't know which one of the five apartments he stole, but he admits, and I want to do tshuva, and I want to pay back, right? Whatever. And everybody says, he stole from me. Why not? It's a good deal over here. So it's a machlokas there. Rabbi Akiva says he has to give to each and every one of the creditors, and that's on the Rambam Paskin when we learned Hilchas Gezela many moons ago. This is a little bit familiar. Yeah. And the reason is the rabbis find him since he transgressed and he stole. So now you've got the bottom hand. And you want, if you got to pay back, how are we going to know who you paid back from? That's a case of stealing. Here, we're going to have the same case, but not stealing, but a case of selling. And he's not sure who he sold the product to. That's going to be the issue. He got the money. He sold the product.
He sold the product.
Yes, we'll see. Well, I'm sorry, with the reverse. Somebody bought from five people. One buyer, one purchaser.
Doesn't know who he bought.
Let's look. Yeah. Base. Halokeach me'echad me'chamisha b'nei adam. The guy went to five stores, whatever, or this is a big, the big trade shows, whatever, and he took an object from somebody, right? From one of five people, and he said, "Yeah, I'll pay you back tomorrow." You know, and he probably bought a lot of things from a lot of people, and he got back to everybody. But as one guy, he says, "You know, for the life of me, I don't remember who I bought it from."
He has the item.
He has the item, but he's got to pay somebody back. So what happens? The call, and from one of five guys, the call echemem toveoso. So everybody claims the omer and says, "Ani hu bal hamikach. I'm the one who." Who sold it to him? He doesn't know what he does. So this is not going to be the same. So in the case by stealing, Rabbi Akiva said he has to pay to everybody. It's a machlokas there. There's another rabbi who says not. Here, the Rambam's going to change And because there's a difference. When a guy steals, he's done an avera. Here, he did an avera. It's just an honest forgetting. He doesn't know. He wants to pay the guy back. And it's equally as bad. The seller, you know, really there's only one guy who sold it to him. So
actually, the seller's doing an avera by claiming that he sold it when he didn't really, unless he's really...
Well, they think, you know...
They all think they sold it.
Listen, I'm sure at a trade show there could be a lot. Maybe each one of them, you know, let somebody take five different guys and
they have
computers and everything. So the five guys claim. So what does he do? Well, he just leaves the money in between the five of them. So either this is done in Bezdin, okay? In other words, he comes in front of the Balei Din, so nobody can really grab it yet, because the seller is responsible that it shouldn't go to the wrong person, and the guy shouldn't lose out. So he just... he just leaves it with the Bezdin, and it sits there, or he just removes himself from the whole thing. Whatever. Either way, but he's not the one involved in who does it.
Now he's paying.
And these guys had to figure it out. Here's the money, and I leave it to the great rabbis to figure out between these five guys how to do it. The money sits there until the other four guys confess that they're liars. Until Eliyahu comes. That's according to the letter of the law. However, we're going to take it one step further. But if he's a righteous Jew who wants to go beyond the letter of the law, like the Chafetz Chaim, who once a customer came in and he bought a fish, a herring or something, and he paid for the herring, he forgot the herring, so what did the Chafetz Chaim do the next day or the next week, day of sales? He let every customer get a free herring. All right, so that's basically the same case.
Nothing fishy.
Right? If he's a righteous man, he would pay each one, not that he has to, but to fulfill his heavenly obligation for that. Okay, so it's an ethical halacha, but not an actual law, because now, you know, you don't have to do that. Now, there's other cases that you could have, but that's clearly what the law is. Okay, fine. So this was a case of somebody who bought from one of five guys. Gimel. Lokach nichad me'echad mechamisha. Again, he bought from one of five, mechamisha b'nei Adam, from five people. He bought, and he bought it, but he never paid. And then the guy, the five guys all are claiming that they owe him money, but he denied it. He said, you know, I didn't buy anything from anybody. In other words, five guys think he bought something from them, took the item. He took the item.
Right.
He has the item, but he never paid. And five guys are claiming, really, he took it from one guy. Could be the other four guys, obviously, are liars.
But how can he claim he didn't get it from any of them?
He denies it. The covering. He says it was a gift.
Okay.
It was a gift. I found.
They had samples of it to show.
You know, v'nishba al sheker, and he swore falsely, but then v'asur tshuva, and then he did tshuva. He says, you know what? I swore falsely. Or let's say Bezdin finds out from others. We now all of a sudden get two witnesses who tell us what really happened over here, that he swore falsely. Right? So now, either he willingly does tshuva and wants to pay, or we've caught him in the act. Now, he really only owes one guy, but there's five guys claiming the own. So this is going to be similar to the what?
The thief.
To the thief case. He wants to pay. Now he's doing tshuva. And everybody claims and says, Ani hu shekafar to be. You're the one who lied to me, v'nishbata li, and you swore falsely to me. V'omar, he says, you know what? Ani yodea, I don't know. Now it's not a case of being meritorious, but chayev l'sham l'chol echad ve'echad. He has to pay to each and every one of them, mipnei shover aver, because he has transgressed. And that's the idea. What does it matter if he buys without paying? What does it matter if he steals without paying? It's the same as stealing, so it gets the same halacha as stealing. Now, let's take it. Okay, we'll do one more. It's a big one. Let's see if we can get this one in. That's a little bit of a tricky case. You have to hear the whole case out before we can ask questions on this one. Okay? It's a little bit trickier.
Really good. I know.
What?
Mordechai's class. I'm awake.
Well, it's pretty clear. It's not such hard stuff. This one's a little tricky. Neman Balamika Chlomer, the purchaser, is able, the owner is able to say, here's going to be a dispute. Two people claim they bought the item from one purchaser. And more than that, he's got both people's money. You're going to ask, how did he get both people's money? We'll find out. One guy, he said, you know, he sells it to one guy. He says, okay, you're going to give me the money. The other guy says, no, I really want to buy from you. So Marv, we had Marv already, Steve.
Really?
Like last, we did Mincha Marv together.
Okay.
Sorry. Anyway, so tomorrow you're going to come. Mincha Marv starts at 8:15 and ends at about 5 to 9. So we'll get them both. Okay?
Sorry.
Okay. Not a problem. Anyway, so what happens is one guy is the guy he really wanted to sell it to, and he willingly took it from him. The other guy tossed the money in, forced him to take the money. So now he forced him to take it. So he's got the money of both of them, but he's saying, listen, I really only sold it to one guy, and I really don't want your money. But they're both claiming, well, I'm the one you sold it to. No, I'm the one you sold it to. And he's got the money of both of them. So now that's ultimately going to be the case, even though it doesn't seem so in the beginning, but that's ultimately the way the commentators explain. So let's say the seller, he knows. It's not that he doesn't know. He knows. He knows who it is. Problem is, there's two guys arguing with him. So Neman Bala Mikach Lomar, the seller is believed when he says Lazem Macharti, I sold it to this guy. Lazel Lo Macharti, this one I don't sell it. And here, you take your money back, please. And you're the one who's going to get the item from me. Now, when is he believed? A Masai. When he still has the item in his hand, he hasn't given it yet. They gave him the money, but it's still in his hand. Why? Because he's got some amazing migus over here. We're gonna believe him completely. Because number one, he could have said, "I never sold it to anybody." As a migu, he could have said, "I never sold it to anybody."
He wants to sell it. What are you
gonna say? I don't have the item. He could have said, I mean, we're just saying, what's the migu?
Oh,
we believe what he says because he had a migu. He could have said, I didn't sell it. Or he could have said, I bought it back. Right? So since he has these migus, we believe him, even though there's two other guys arguing out who it was. But what if the item isn't by him anymore? It's by the one guy. He gave it away. Now he doesn't have a migu anymore. So where will his believability come from? He's no worse than one witness. And one witness, the dino be'eduzu kidin kolorim. And then he's no worse than any one witness. And what do you happen when there's one witness? He's believed as one witness, and he'll force the fellow to make a shvua like one eid echad does. And the second guy will be free from the shvua because he has the witness that's backing him up.
So who's making the
shvua? Well, the guy who doesn't have it would have to swear that it's his.
Why doesn't he have it?
But then he would lie.
Yeah.
Okay, think it's yours, then swear. You know.
And if he swears, then what? Then he gets it?
Well, he would get it, you know. But, you know, it's... But whenever you have one witness, so you stole from me, one witness, what do we do? Let's say Eliezer says, you stole, right? And I'm a witness. Yeah, Paul, you did steal it. And what do we do?
I didn't have to swear.
Oh, well, and you get away with it, eh?
No, I understand.
And you get away with it, eh?
Well, but I don't understand why, if the person has the object, why isn't he believed to have bought it?
Because he only has one witness, so we have to force somebody to swear. Somebody's got to swear.
Isn't it the fact that he actually has the object?
Maybe he stole it.
Even though the seller says, yes, I stole it.
So somebody's got to swear. There's got to be some oath. One witness can only force an oath. That's all.
Why can't the person who has the object swear?
Well, one second. I'll be shaming of Yoro. You hate them again. We have a echad shvua mina Torah. Kidding. I have a sheni yipotter mishvua. Well, I guess he's free from making
his... doesn't have it, ends up
that's getting. What does your commentary say? That's what mine says. He's free from making an oath. If the other guy wants to swear, then he'll get it. But it's a very tricky... I mean, it's not so easy, people making false oaths like this. We don't want to... The guy who's does have it, why should he swear? He's got the eight on his side. Remember? Remember, people don't even want to swear if it's the truth. Right? You don't want to swear.
This guy's already lying.
So he's off the hook. He doesn't have to. He's lying is one thing. Invoking God's name is a serious business here. People don't do this. Somebody's got to swear. Well, since the one witness is backing him up, you don't have to swear. You get it. You want it, man? Then you're going to invoke God's name to get it. Most often, a guy will back out of that. All right? Lafika. So that's when he's clear. But what if the seller is not clear? Lefikach, therefore, we could now make the following application. If he takes money from both of them. Now you finally get explained what the case was. One of them he willingly took the money from. The other one he took against his will. He doesn't know who he got it from. Who forced him and who gave it to him willingly. So now, if he doesn't know already, that's a pretty weak position now. Bein shahaya mikol peya, doesn't matter if the item is still in the seller's possession. Bein shahaya shem, doesn't matter whether both of them are grabbing onto it at the same time. Ein kanei kol, he has no testimony because he doesn't know. That's all there is to it. V'chol echma, so now each one has the nishba b'takonas chachamim, makes an oath of a takonas chachamim, which is a little bit of a higher level than a shvuas heses, but lower than a shvuah d'oraisa. It's a rabbinic oath. Binikita sreif, it's holding on a sefer Torah. V'notel chatzi amikach, and this one gets half, and this one v'chatzi, each one gets half of the item and gets half the money back. In other words, it was a $100 item, so I don't know how they'll either have to sell that item, split it in half, or sell it, and one gets the other money. But it's basically a case of Yachloku. The Rambam does not tell us what happens if one guy is holding the money. I would imagine if one guy is holding the money, probably there'd have to be an oath on the side of the guy who's not holding the money. I would imagine. And the one who's not holding the money would have to make an oath and say it was sold to me, because if the guy's holding it, it's a good likelihood that he's the one who has it. Okay. Good place to stop.